morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. That's what it's all about.
God, King Jesus, King Jesus of the United States. I just want to say that. Heard some interesting things during the week. You know, I hate to say it, but I need to be fed almost every day to keep up your spirit, so to speak.
Amen.
And because I think I mentioned last week or week before, walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
We go by sight. For some of us, we're real depressed and like, what's going on? But like Murray said, one thing is certain. He's still on the throne. Our Jesus is at his right hand interceding for you and me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Believe and receive.
I heard some a word from a gentleman, and I thought, what is he reading that for? He read several things and tied it together, and I thought, I got to look that up. I got to check that out. And I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures here and try to make sense of it like he made sense. And it's something like this, like, I think is applicable to today. What's happening in the United States and generally all around the earth, but really here in our country right now. And it's the first verse I want to read to you is out of Genesis 15, chapter 15, verse 16. And I've read this before, and I just read it, and that was it. Went on reading. But when you apply it to today, it's a little different feeling, a little different understanding. This is the word God speaking to Abraham. And I've always wondered about this and what it's about. His descendants. And I always wonder why 400 years in captivity for the Jewish nation. But in verse 16, chapter 15, verse 16, it says, but in the fourth, now I'll read 15. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers, speaking to Abraham, in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But this is a quote. In the fourth generation, they shall return here. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Other versions say about the cup of iniquity for the Amorites is not yet full. And you stop and think about that. Does God have a level of iniquity or evil for a peoples, for a nation, that has to reach a certain point where he can't take it anymore? He moves. And 400 years, I'm not saying that it took 400 years for the iniquity of the Amorites to be complete or their cup of iniquity to be full, but he would not move the Hebrew nation in there until theirs reached a point. So maybe after 400 years, that was it. Moses, come, free your people, bring them over to the promised land. So is that happening here in the United States?
Could be.
Is the cup of the iniquity of God's enemies getting full? We may wonder why A lot of prayer going on since November 3rd. So we know how good our God is, and mercy is always number one to me on his list. Mercy.
Amen.
And giving a chance for people to repent. Repent and come to him.
Amen.
But some people don't repent. And it builds and builds and builds. So, is the cup of the iniquity in the United States almost there? Is that cup almost full? We can't gloat over people not repenting and receiving their just reward. We should be praying for their soul.
Amen.
Because we know God wants them saved. He wants them to repent and come to him, no matter what they've done.
Amen.
I look at myself. I am thankful he was patient for me.
Amen.
For 30-some years, till my cup of iniquity was full and I finally got saved.
Amen.
So thank you, Lord. But nevertheless, the cup is filling up. If you look, I don't watch the news, but on YouTube and other things, you hear anything I see accidental just blows me away. It's like, can these people be serious? Are they really? Murray was turning the channels on something. Hit some lady was on there speaking about some members of Congress who supported the president these 4 years, and it sounded as if she thought they should be in prison. Is there no constitution here in the United States left about freedom of speech? Because you hold a different opinion, are you to be in prison because your opinion is different than this person's or this group's? I was just blown away. I said, Marie, you got to turn that. I'm about ready to kick the TV in or something. I can't watch that. But I thought, my gosh, is the insanity hit that level in this country? And I thought of this. I heard this earlier.
Amen.
Cup of iniquity is not yet complete. And along with that verse, if I can flip you over to Galatians, I believe it's 6:7. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whenever a man sows, that he will also reap. So, there's going to be a lot of reaping going on once that cup of iniquity in the United States is full. I mean, it is. I don't know, maybe I'm seeing this wrong. I don't know. But I just look and say, when the Lord does move in this country, you know, going by the prophets and the prophetesses, the words we have heard, and I believe them. I believe them, and I say, well, Lord, anytime you want to move, it's fine with me. And he has not moved yet, as far as what we can see. In this, I think if we could see the spirit world in this country, we'd be amazed. We'd be hiding under a chair or something. Like, wow, there is a battle going on for the soul of the United States, quite frankly. Our Lord is going to come out victorious.
Amen.
I mean, it's like nothing, no one, no group, no one can take credit for what is about to happen except him.
Ah.
No man, no senator, no Supreme Court.
Amen.
The Lord God is going to get glory
Hallelujah.
And honor out of this, because it was an impossible thing. No one can do it except him.
Amen.
I mean, and you know what? It may not happen this week. And,
And it might.
But I know one thing, and I believe the word that came forth, a January of justice, a February of fury, but a March of celebration.
Hallelujah.
So it may be quicker than that, you know, whatever the Lord decides. I'm praying that his will be done in this nation and on earth as it is in heaven, as it is written in heaven. So whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. I mean, that applies to so many situations, not just politics, elections, but in our personal lives. So I don't know if that made any sense to you, but you may wonder, I have wondered, Lord, a lot of prayers gone forth. I know it has. I just know it, feel it. I know how people I know and myself, I've changed since November 3rd. I have changed. And I think my prayer life has changed. I've become a little more fervent. I need to become more fervent in my prayer life. I know that.
More ferocious.
And, so much has changed. And it's like the Lord has said so many things about how he's taken control of this United States because it's his. This country was dedicated to him, and he has a purpose for this country, the United States of America, and that's to spread the gospel around the earth. That's number one. We're at the forefront of that. We have been, and we thank you, Lord, for that. Even though our iniquity has been great in the last last half century, he has not forsaken us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You got a plan for us, and I say, bring it on, Lord.
Amen.
Bring it on to the United States. Let us be worthy of your plan and your justice and your agenda in this country. So, anyway, sooner or later, the cup of the iniquity is going to fill up. Because if you watch so much stuff, you hear so much stuff, I mean, it is so wide-ranging, just mind-boggling. And but it's going to come forth. Every day passes, His hand movement comes that much closer.
And you
might say, boy, I'd like to have seen it move November 3rd, Lord. Well, where would you be in your spiritual life? You might be down here, but now you're up here. You're at attention.
We're becoming that behind you. We're becoming that.
Amen. We are, I hope we all are, fired up and ready to go to do his will in this country. And it's a new day in this country. And it seems like I would say the Hebrew nation, when they met, standing in front of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his armies back there, was like, whoa, we need a miracle here. And that's where we're at, I believe. That's where the United States is at. That's where his church is at. But the Lord is listening. The Lord is He is not deaf, his arm is not too short that he cannot reach out and grab a hold of us. And he's never sleeps nor slumbers. And I do like that scripture where he's in the heavens laughing at the efforts of the enemy. When I read that, you can't help but laugh yourself, you know. Devil is working overtime, and all his demons, I just feel they're just in a panic, because the Lord is laughing. The Lord is laughing, and if you believe the word of some of the prophets, the angels of the Lord are swarming this nation, kicking the enemy in the pants. And they're, you know, he's doing everything from impeachment to riots and threats and you name it. But the Lord will have his way. The Lord will have his way. In politics and in the, more importantly, in the church. In the church. It's starting here in the church first and then governmental units, because he is concerned about how government operates in this nation, and it sounds like he wants to clean it up.
Yeah.
But first, right here in the house of God, house of the Lord, his church, that's where it starts first. So, and I think it has started. Because if our attitude is like, whoa, we got to pray. We got to get with it. We can't be sitting around idle and a couple hours of church on Sunday and go home and okay, come back next Sunday. No, we got to have church every day in our lives,
amen,
so to speak. Praying every day. Praying every day. Seeking him every day. So we can be used by him, so this church can get in shape and do the will of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, Father God, I bring your church before you here in the United States, and it's received a couple of gut punches the last couple of months, Lord. But it has woke us up. I pray it has woke us up. I pray your church in this United States is getting stronger, leaner, more fervent, more into your word, more into prayer, more into seeking not your hand but your face, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Seeking your will, agreeing with your will, on earth as it is in heaven, in this nation as it is in heaven. So, Father God, we thank you. We are looking forward to to whatever you want to do with us personally, whatever you want to do with the church, and what you're doing in this nation. Yes, Lord, I do expect a turnaround, a day like we may have never experienced before, because we as a people, we as a nation will say nothing, no one, but the Lord Almighty could have done this.
Amen.
So we thank you, mighty God, for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're doing right here in this body of believers, Lord God. And we say we are in alignment with you, Lord God. We pray that we are in alignment with your will. And Holy Spirit, guide us. Guide us to do your will. Not only in this nation, but in our personal lives. Daily, daily, help us to seek you every day. And we just thank you. We give you all honor and glory and praise in the holy name of Jesus, Father. Amen.
Amen. Does it not say that the Lord says that my word is true? I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the only true God. There has been questions about truth. What is truth? Some say, well, truth can be a lot of different things. But my word says, I am truth. I am the Word. And there is no other word but me. I am the great I am. Your word is life. It's living waters. It breathes. It changes. For I'm a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Trust me. Trust me. I am coming. I'm coming very soon. Don't look at the things in the media or on radio, for my hand is a hand. The ground is shaking and I'm shaking things up. You ask me why? Why is it taking so long? My grace. My loving kindness in my heart is for you. I wish none to perish, but I'm calling them out. Are they listening? Stand. My people, stand and live no fear. Stand. Watch my hand. Am I not your? Am I not your deliverer? I am your joy. I am your peace. I am your provision. I am your healer. Those things have not changed. Those are all in my word. Those are covenant promises I promised to you, my people. So stand and stand strong. Stand on my word, says the Lord. If you could stand for the word, please. We're going to be reading Psalms 37. The heritage of the righteous and the calamity of the wicked. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, and do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet in a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully to this place, and it shall be no more. The meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that the day is coming. The wicked have drawn the swords and have bent their bows to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. The sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that the righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and the inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed of the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendors of the metal, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked barrels and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, and those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his hen, nor his descendants begging for bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, and the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide.
Amen.
The wicked watches the righteous, and he seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he exalts your inheritance. And he shall exalt you in the inheritance of the land, where the wicked are cut off, and you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is at peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Amen.
Amen. Mine says, because we take refuge.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
In a safe place.
Amen. I kind of want you to notice the picture up here. I've shown it one other time, maybe a couple times, I'm not really for sure. But as I look at that, I was making a comment about the scales.
Yes.
I never noticed the scales before. And there have been so many people that are hearing from the Lord talking about the scales tipping. And on one side of the scale is righteousness, and the other one is justice. And we're seeing things that are not right that are coming forward. And so I got really kind of excited this morning. No one else probably would, but I just kind of looked at that shield, and I kept on hearing from the Lord that those that are His are thrusting forward, not going back. But the key word I kept on hearing was thrusting forward. And there were three things, I just kind of scribbled them down because I really wanted to show the video again because it was on my heart. That I think what you read today, Karen, was important, that we have to remember that we don't use our regular eyes, that we use spiritual eyes. We have to see what is going on and what plan and what the Lord has for us to do. And to hear Him. There is a lot. We need to ask the Lord to give us that supernatural spiritual ears to hear. And I really feel that if you could hear those horses that I've heard and really hear those angels and the warfare that's going on. And these were three things that I wrote down from the Lord. The first one is that we had to focus up. We have to get into the Word of God. Focus up. The second one was we have to focus in. And the third one is from the book of Acts, which means that we have to focus out. We have to get so full of Him, so focused on Him. Anything that we hear, we have to see if we can find it in the Word, ask verification from the Holy Spirit, take that and move out with it. And I kept on hearing over and over and over again from the Holy Spirit that we have to keep moving forward. We have to keep on, and I heard that word thrusting. And so I wanted to mention that. And then a couple other things that I wrote down. I don't know how many pages I have, like five. And I want everybody to have that next week. But the key to our weaponry is love. We have to love people that are really unlovable. And that's not an easy thing to do. And we can only do that by the Holy Spirit. And the other thing is that the more that you press in, I hear that so much, press in, press in, press in. And you know, sometimes I don't know about you, but I want to. Sometimes I get so much that I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. And so, you know, I write it in notebooks. In fact, that's what I really went to Traverse City for, was I needed to buy some new notebooks because mine are filled up. And it's like the Lord is showing so much, and so much of things are coming forth that have always been hidden. And so, anyways, I wanted you to hear that again. Focus up, focus in, and focus out. I can do a whole sermon on that, but it's all over this podium here. And the other thing that I put here, too, the Lord showed me that there were many people that were in the body of Christ. And as they faced the battles, different kinds of fear came at them. Torment came at them. It just seemed like they weren't getting the breakthrough that they wanted. And what I kept on hearing from the Lord is that there were many people that were so sold out to Him that just felt stuck. You know, like you didn't know how to pray, you didn't know what to do anymore. And what the Lord kept on saying to me is keep on thrusting forward, because He says, I need you to be set free. And when you get free of yourself, I can show you what I'm trying to do. And the more that you press in, the more he's going to show you battle strategies for you. It could be over your city. It could be over a nation. But I really felt that the Holy Spirit was saying that he wants us to go so much deeper in him and keep on moving forward. It's not just us in the battle. There's many people in the battle, but he is sending the angels before. And I also heard the Lord say this when Joe made a comment, and he said something about the church. The church in general, many people are repenting for things. Excuse me for saying it that way. But what he's doing is he's realigning us. He's showing us to come together in unity, prayer, whatever. But many times fear comes up, and most of us meditate on that fear. And what the Lord has been showing me over and over again is that we have to keep on calling out his name. That we have to draw that bloodline still today. And when I saw that song dealing with, I'm not going to fear. You're not going to tread on my territory. Every day we get up, there's something wrong, Judy. Every day there's something. And every day we got to say, I don't think so. Get behind me. And we have to do that. And I don't mean it in a ridiculous way, but I really, really believe that it's all about the harvest. And it's all about souls. And the more that Satan can separate, the more that we're not tuned into him or we're not praying. I'm truthfully trying to tell you that he's trying to eat up that harvest. He doesn't want it to go forth. And truthfully, there are very few workers. And if you really want to know the thing behind this COVID-19, is still many churches have not met at all. Still not together. So the more that Satan can cause people not to pray, or to come together, or I don't know how else to put it in terms, the more you can't bring that harvest in. Things are shut down. And what I'm trying to say to you is that he wants us to thrust forward, to stand. I've always said that as a big word. And we have to keep our eyes on him. So I really wanted to share that before the video because I just felt that pressure so much from the Holy Spirit that those things needed to be said. So Vic, are you ready?
It is not letting me pull that video up off your computer. It's asking for a password and all this other stuff. It says you don't have a subscription. Is it the one we did last week? Was that one from like 2 weeks ago? January 3rd?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
I think it is. That's the one I pulled up. I think
well,
that's it.
I don't know
it.
If you guys kind of know what's going on. Oh, Joe says it's a different one.
What would the date have been? Because last Sunday was the 10th, and so it would have had to been before then. And it wasn't the one from the 10th.
Might have been the 7th.
I don't know, I had it right on the top, but it wouldn't let you open, huh?
No, it's saying that you...
I know that there's a lot that's been going on in the media. I want you to know that. You know, I hardly ever go back and listen to our Facebook. I really don't. Ever so often I might, or my daughter will make a comment or whatever. But it is amazing how many things are being wiped out on Facebook. How many things are just unreal. I know that Hank Luneman said that they actually had literally wiped out different things that he was saying as well. So, you know, the social media is kind of in control here. But I'll just kind of say a few more things. Maybe this is what the Lord wanted me to say. I don't know.
I mean, I can play that one from it would have been January 3rd, which would have been 2 weeks from today. would have been not last Sunday, but the Sunday before, or would it have been the Wednesday night one in between the Sundays? Kind of looks like this is the one. It was like 19 minutes long, but I might be wrong.
Kim's saying
Do the one from the third? He had one this Wednesday, but I haven't listened to that one, so I don't know. This kind of looks like it, but I've watched a couple of them, so they're kind of blending.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, we'll try it.
Anyways, I kept, you know, kind of putting this whole paper together of just different terms, different things that the Holy Spirit has really, you know, placed on my heart. And of course, that very first thing was to know your purpose, who you are, and to get ready for the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit really fell hard. If you didn't feel it, you need to recheck yourself where you're at, because the Holy Spirit was powerful. We never can take credit for His glory whatsoever. The glory belongs to Him. I have seen more and more about the fire of God, the fire coming. I really have. And I just really believe that it's a purifying of the church and a purifying of each one of us individually. And when we get in His presence, He gives direction. He shows us the path. Hopefully everybody knows that. It's the narrow path, and it's probably the one that's the most rocky. And He provides provision and love. And Joe's talked about that many times, about provision. And we've heard prophets talk about provision. And there's a continuous, whatever, however you want to say it, of His glory, of what He's trying to do. Another thing that I said here in that one song, let me find that song, because I like it.
That looks like New Year's Eve one.
I said, oh no, you've done it now. You've gone against the king. You've gone against the crown. Oh no, you've done it now. It's time to feel the fire. Spreading around. How could you think He would stay down? Spreading around, you're nothing but a liar. And that's talking to everything that Satan and the principalities, strongholds, and everything are trying to do. It says, get out of here, get on up, and leave. Ain't no devil gonna tread on me. I don't know about you, but we have to be able to say that. He's choking on the blood. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you right now, thank you, Lord, for your blood. That ran down the tree, ain't no devil gonna tread on me. You've done it now, gone against the king, gone against the crown. You've done it now, it's time to feel the fire. How powerful is that? You know, I don't know about you, but many times when I sit here and work on music and stuff like that, or Karen works on music, I say, Lord, help us to find. Lord, help us to sing what we're supposed to be singing. And I really, really believe He's trying to show us something here, because these songs have been pretty powerful. And anyways, I'll just say a few more things here. I really believe with all my heart that I said that He wanted us to refocus our mission even here at Hilltop. Refocusing is a good thing to do. And you should refocus more often than most of us do. Oh gosh, I got it wrong. Revisiting what God's Word says about the mission of this church. If you don't know what our mission is and our vision, then you need to get on that website of ours, htabernacle.com, and see what we have down there. That wasn't just some brainstorm that I had when I wrote that down. When we refocus, it is the only way to make sure that we're staying focused on what the Lord wants us to do. And truthfully, I don't care what other people are doing.
We have something that we're specifically supposed to do here. Chris was talking about a men's thing. You know, if that's what the Lord wants, start putting it together. We'll pray on it. We'll move on. We've talked about the young adults. If it's the right timing of the Lord, we write it up, move on. It's like you can't just sit and do nothing. This is the time when I'm saying about going forward, you have to do that. You have to do it. There's so much in Acts. If I could say anything at all, I'd like to encourage you to read the book of Acts and read about what the Lord says about refocusing. And what does he want us to do? What strategies does he want? I remember Joe standing right up here and he said, well, if you didn't like this that we were doing or that, you know, speak it out, talk to me about it. You know, what can we do? How can we work together for the good? You remember, Joe? You stood up here and you said that. I want you to think of this. It says, can you imagine a church so unified and in tune with the Holy Spirit that it influences the kingdom of hell to change? And I wrote that down from the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 6. A church, not just Hilltop, his church, to move the world. I think that's pretty powerful. 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 6. We don't want just a church that will move with the world. We want a church that will move the world. I really believe that is what's happening, or that's what happened with the first century church. I feel they were moving the world. They were making a difference. They had an impact on society. And I do not feel that that is what's happening in the churches today. They did not blend in. They didn't go unnoticed when they talked in the first century or made a comment. They dug in their heels and they put their shoulders to the wheel of history and they tried to redirect the future path that the Lord wanted them to go on.
Wow.
They took a stand for Christ Jesus. I don't think there's anybody sitting in here that would not take a stand for Christ Jesus. But when the fear, when things come upon you, I really believe you're tested. And the Lord has tested many of us. And he's saying, will you stand? Will you take a stand in faith? It's a deeper kind of faith. I don't feel it's easier, and I don't think we need to go and talk about everything that happened in the past, but I believe with everything that I have that the Lord wants to change to bring in this harvest. I put down that there are vices, desires, rebellions, and resistance to what God has been really evident. But what the Lord is saying, that when we have one mind and his mind, when we've been in prayer, we're unified, we can thrust forward. I think that is so powerful. I've talked so much about salt and light. I have so much. But I really believe that we need more salt and light in this world. And I think I've seen it so much lately when I see the evil that is on this land. And I believe that as people are praying, that the Lord's taken us through it. And if you're not seeing all the stuff that's going on, you need to dig deeper. I look at my grandbabies and what's ahead for them, what's ahead for the young people. And I'm saying, Lord, help us. We need within ourselves to know our own identity. We have to proclaim that I am a child of God and an heir of God. And why I do that, H-E-I-R, and did our brochures up with that, is because that means that you belong to Him. You're an heir of God. How dare Satan attack you? You've got to proclaim that out of your mouth. How dare you? How dare you? I say that all the time. But I heard from the Lord that we have to march forward in the path of love and truth, and we have to stand for righteousness. I will put on a priestly armor and move with the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Hallelujah.
A priestly bride.
Amen.
I love that.
Yes.
And I put down here that Satan, I serve you notice that the battle belongs to the Lord. But I know that the blood of Jesus covers me, covers my family, covers my church family. And you need to say that. It's like you have to declare it, you know, into the heavenlies. It's like, I don't know how else to say it. It's like you can have all this head knowledge. You can memorize 150 scriptures. I know in the church that, you know, that people can quote John 3:16, John 3:17, you know, and people can quote scriptures, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to go beyond that and know who you are. You need to be able to use those scriptures with what is going on. And I put down here that song, that don't tread on me, that means that no weapons will fall on me or you, and nothing from Satan can wipe out the blood of Jesus. None. The harvest is the souls of men. And I don't know about you, but I'm coming for them. I'm coming for souls. I am coming for souls. Are you with me on that or not?
Yes.
I really want to bring them in. I want to tell them about Jesus. And you know what? I said that to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't even know if we are prepared. But the more that we press into Him, the more He helps us. You know, you're going to see unbelievable people with tattoos and earrings. And you're going to see a lot of the goth kids. You're going to see people that know absolutely nothing about Jesus. Nothing. And then you're going to find people that talk, you know, will say, oh, God loves you. Well, hey, they're so hated in their family, they don't even know where they're supposed to be. So we have to know how to use our words from the Lord to bring them into the kingdom. We have to tell them that they're important, that they're not a mistake, that there's a destiny for their life. That's important. And when you can't make church number one and you're not in church and it's open, hey, you're not accountable to me. You're going to be accountable to the Lord. We're our people. I bet you when all hell breaks through, and it's coming, you're going to either see churches that are going to be on fire, or you're going to see people coming into the church because they don't know where to go. Just like when 9/11 happened. Churches were packed. Lasted for about 3 months, and then there was nothing. I'm telling you right now, you need to be sold out to the Lord. You need to fall on your knees. You need to ask the Lord what you can do, not what I can do or Joe can do or different people in here. What can you do? How does the Lord want to bring in the harvest? How does the Lord want you to ask, talk, walk? Because if you don't live it, you're in trouble. It's got to be a part of your life. Just like what Joe was talking about. When I was flipping around on that TV, and that woman came, and she's some kind of a press whatever speaker. She has her like a talk show. It was awful. I just couldn't believe I was really hearing those things. I couldn't believe the talk that is going on out there. I mean, whether you like it or not, The Lord wants as many to come into his kingdom as possible. And we're to pray for our enemy whether we understand them or not. That's what we're to be doing. We're to be, it's not who's going to be in office and all that. Yes, it's important. But it is about bringing in this harvest so that when the Lord returns, they're going to go home with him. They're not going to go to hell. They're going to have everlasting life. And there are so many young people, I can't explain it. I'm just stunned by some of it. They don't even, they believe that there's all these cults that are going on. And who's the people that's ahead of the cult? The church. Jesus. I'm going, what? Isn't that kind of mixed up here? And the Lord gives fair warning, too, that there are angel armies that are coming. And I believe that's why I've heard him so much in the spirit. And you're supposed to say this to yourself. I'm an overcomer. We all have to say that. We all have to have the victory cry, Satan, don't tread on me. That's a victory cry. It's powerful. And every day we have to get up and say that. And like I said, I wasn't planning on preaching today. Maybe God wanted me to do this and it's not to watch the video. I don't know. But I'm just telling you right now, what the Lord is trying to say is that we have to refocus. That we have to focus up, focus in, and focus out. I don't know about you, that's kind of cool.
Yes, it is.
I think it's kind of cool. You know, I don't know if that's the teacher part of me or what. Mm-hmm. But you know, I like step one, step two, step three. Make it plain, make it simple, Lord. So anyways, that's what I want to say today. And I know we got communion and everything. But I really believe the Lord is saying to stand, to pray, and to thrust. I didn't even know what that really meant, to thrust forward. But it means go. Like fast.
Charge.
And when I saw that picture, when I saw that picture about thrusting forward, I felt in my spirit that's what that warrior was doing. That's powerful. And I can't remember, maybe Joe's got a bit better mind than I do. But there was something about, do you remember what it said, Joe, when it was talking about the armor? We were listening to one of the prophets and they were making a comment about, was it the shield? That something was different. I said, oh my gosh, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, wasn't it Camp Christmas?
It might have been. I don't know, it was something about, that we talk about the armor, and I don't know if you guys notice up here, because there's a lot of stuff up here, but everything in this church, there's a reason for it. And someone gave me the full armor statue, whatever it is. Huh? Yeah, and it's right there in the front somewhere. I can't see it over the podium, but to put on the full armor of God. And they said, you know, they didn't even know anything, and they said, thank you. They had said that it says, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet filled with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And they gave me this. And I thought, I'm keeping that right up front. We have to put that armor on every day. I just can't explain it any other way. But there was one of the prophets that was talking about this shield, and it was really quite amazing, and maybe God will give it to me before we go. But, you know, every place we go, we should be bringing peace. Every place that we go, we should bring peace. And that peace is perfect peace. So I kind of want to end with that. And in Jesus' name, we will move forward. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for handing me that. Here, you want this back or something? Thank you, Lord. So, Father, I ask for you to seal this. I ask you to seal what you've given to me up here. And, Father, I just ask that you will help us to be able to go forward, that we will stand, that we will have peace, that we will move with the line of the tribe of Judah. And I give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.